This is Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions with Gerald Yao-Yi, Oscar Panifex, Liam Fogarty, and Ryan Cook.
Hello and welcome to Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. I am your host, Ryan Cook. We're on to side B of round one, boys, coming off a truly memorable and unique weekend of rugby league in Las Vegas last week. Here to recap everything on and off the field, rugby league writer's finest, winner of a successful multi over the weekend, I believe.
One from one.
It's the big O, Oscar Panifex.
Hey, good to be back, boys. It was a stunning weekend. Just good to have rugby league back on the TV.
Absolutely. After last Sunday's game, he's officially part of the Turbo team. It's Liam Fogarty.
you don't walk with us. You don't run with us. You walk. If you're not part of the Turbo team.
And the man that single-handedly sent the internet into a bit of a tailspin with his juicy story last week, surrounding a couple of the AFL boys. It is Gerald Yao-Yi.
Yeah, there won't be any more Vegas stories from me. I've had a few calls, one from Ben Barber and one from DCE. So they've been close enough to me to go, hey,
shut your lips.
Just calm it down, boys.
Controversial to say the least. Gentlemen, look, Vegas has been done to death. If you've been listening to podcasts over the last few days, everyone's got a hot take. We'll get into it really quickly. Look, we're not going to talk too much about the Spencer Lenu thing. I don't think this is the platform for it, but Gerald, you told us before the show you got a few thoughts you want to share, so the floor is yours, mate.
Yeah, I just think racism, for instance, there's no need for it, not only just in the game, but in society. And I think Ezra's done the right thing. I know there's a lot of people that don't think he has, but if it doesn't start with him, when where does it start? So, you know, obviously it'll go through its due course properly, and, you know, hopefully the NRL come out with an outcome that is best for both parties, and we move on.
Absolutely. Very well said. It's a shame that that sort of overshadowed all the great work that took place in Vegas last week. Boys, what did we think of the games? Give me your pros and cons. Did we like the weekend? Anything you'd like to see changed maybe next year?
I mean, Rabbitohs and Broncos fans didn't like it as much.
No, we hated it, didn't we?
As we thought we might have heading into the weekend. Mm. I mean, as a rugby league fan, I thought both games were superb. From a quality perspective, given it was round one, I think all completion rates were, average or above average.
Yeah.
The contests and the collisions, saw some athletic acrobatics from Joey Manu and the like. So, yeah, I thought it was stunning. I thought a big success. Yeah.
I thought both games were almost like mid-season games. Like all four teams are in really good form.
Oh, definitely.
Great footy. Gerald, what do you think of it?
Yeah, I'm obviously disappointed that the result wasn't there, but for a fan's perspective, it was nice to watch. A little bit, we took a little bit away from the game. I know we spoke about how small tinier the fields were going to be. We definitely seen that at
100%.
Times. Mm-hmm. And with, the kicking game from most players, I thought to myself, geez, how did he kick it that far? Then realised the fields were a little bit short. So, you know, just things like that I think we can make better next time. And, you know, how we do that, you know, I'm not sure. But we need to make sure that those fields are, you know, the proper width for our players. But other than that, yeah, I thought the week in a whole, I thought, anyone that covered it, they did a great job. I thought all the teams that were involved were the right team for the job as well. I look forward to seeing what the next 4 years after this one, has in store for us because, you know, where I've got it with, Peter Vallandi said we've signed a contract for 5. So, you know, looking forward to what's coming next.
I think it's interesting that you say the four teams are the best ones to be involved because they're obviously the four biggest clubs.
Yep.
I think the NRL does need to lock in and make sure that at least one of those teams is going every single year because this is something that the NFL did really well. They always send the Jacksonville Jaguars to London.
Yep.
And they've established that fan base over there. So I think
that worked.
That's worked really well. Okay. So I think that's something that the NRL needs to really focus on. Foggs, you're a passionate Broncos man. Would you like to see Brisbane back over there?
Absolutely. I think they're the right team to do it. Maybe Melbourne's the only one that I would suggest. I don't think Manly deserve anything. Maybe boot them out and bring Melbourne in. But yeah, I think you do need to establish those teams. I think Penrith is the other one that could come over, but they were in the UK, so I think there might be a bit of chopping and changing.
So who would have missed out, you reckon, if Penrith didn't go to the UK?
Probably maybe the Broncos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they would have been in the UK just quietly. but maybe I think Manly might have missed out as well. But
see, I think Manly's got the money. So I think that would be a big one. And I think a lot of these things we talk about being in Vegas is a lot to do with money. I mean, there's history at those other two clubs we haven't spoken about yet, the Roosters and the Rabbits as well. So, look, it's going to be – it's going to be tough to see any other club go next year bar these four. They've done a great job promoting the game outside of Vegas in their own, you know, respected areas where they stayed. You know, San Fran, I think the Rabbitohs were. San Diego. LA, you know. And it's fitting for, you know, the Broncos and the relationship they had with the LA Rams as well. So, yeah, it's going to be very hard to see any other club go at the moment.
I think Volandi summed it up pretty well when he said this is sort of like the foundation of the house that's being built. I think there's ways to crack into the American market. They need to expand on the combine idea because I think the casual fan wouldn't have even had a clue that the combine was going on.
No.
And instead of focusing on rugby league players trying to make it into the NFL, I think there needs to be greater emphasis on Americans coming to play rugby league.
100%.
So that's just something I think. Tailgating's another one. They need more American journos there to to really boost the engagement.
They were calling it Major League Rugby in certain terms. So,
you know,
and for an instance for us, you know, that's a bit arrogant for Australians to hear that because we know that we cover their sports so well and we know that it's big, but worldwide it doesn't have to be big. America's a big enough place for them just to have NFL, right? It doesn't need to be worldwide for them because they're so big at following. I just think that was a little bit arrogant hearing from, you know, some of their reporters, journos, that they were calling it that because, you know, take a bit of time and a bit of care with it. We've, you know, we're trying to make a, you know, breakthrough overseas. Give us the time and effort as well.
I thought the commentary might have needed to be a bit simplified as well. Like, I thought Ganain was commentating for the Australian audiences at times. There was moments where there was chaos and he was just kind of analysing it like you would on a Friday night instead of explaining to the new audience what might be going on and why that they're doing the things like that. So maybe those little changes like that might need to be implemented next
maybe
year.
Maybe like in, you know, soccer, football, overseas, they obviously do it. There's different press boxes and they have commentatings for their different areas. Maybe next year it's they have someone who is commentating that knows rugby league but is an American just for their voice. I know that's not great for, you know, our people who are calling, but like you said, it's not they're not understanding, you know, the terms that he's putting it in when he's commentating.
Goodbye. What does that mean?
I've even seen some feedback on Reddit of people saying that it might have been good to explain some of the rules and, like, what was a penalty, like, have that come up on the screen.
Yeah.
So people understand it a bit more.
Get the Nickelodeon broadcast like they did for the NFL.
Get the time out,
SpongeBob explaining it to me.
just piggybacking on this idea, this is something that's been discussed with rugby league for a couple of years now, but I'm a big fan of names on the back of jerseys, and I think the NRL missed a trick last week not having names on the back of jerseys. It's a very American thing, and that really would have appealed to the American audience. But I also think back to, you just mentioned football, Gerard, when I was really into the Premier League, I became a big Arsenal fan, and Cesc Fabregas was the first player that I fell in love with, and that really kicked off my interest in the sport. So I know this is unpopular opinions and this might be a popular opinion for some people. It might upset some of the traditionalists, but I think this is an area that the rugby league really needs to explore.
I think it is going to upset some traditionalists because, you know, we've had rugby league for a long time now and we've got people who want to keep it the same. But as we move on into the future and whatnot, the game has changed even when it comes to, you know, different I suppose, rules and everything like that. So why not change it in another way? I know it is sometimes when you think of Origin and you have your name on your back, I get that it makes it. But maybe it doesn't have to be to start off with. Maybe it doesn't have to be for the full season. Maybe it is for these Vegas special trips, for the special games, because then teams over there, you know, fans over there can go, oh, well, I liked that. I liked that Latrell Mitchell. I want to go buy his jersey from the NRL store in Vegas. And it says Mitchell on the back with number one. So, there's way we can get around it without hurting, I think, people's feelings.
No, that's a very good point. Look, That's enough Vegas chat. We'll get into some top eight chat. Gerard, last week you said the Dragons are going to make the top eight. Oscar, you've got a hot take for us this week.
Yeah, look, I know Kempy's been saying I'm bloke in a bar for the last 3 or 4 years. Be patient, Doggies fans. But I'm tipping Canterbury to get the spoon this season.
I like
season
that.
2024. Then we get a really good value at $10 this morning. I checked. They're a little bit further out a couple of weeks ago when I got on. But yeah, they've been picked obviously as a side that's been down the bottom of the ladder for the last few seasons. Yeah. They've recruited heavily pretty much in consecutive years since Serraldo's taken over. Each year with all those new recruits, we've expected big improvements. I think naturally, we need to be patient when there's big changes in rosters. Combinations and cohesions are such an important part in the NRL, and I think it's going to take the Doggies, as we've seen, some time to build that roster or build into that roster. But yeah, just from what we saw in the trials, some big positional debates, Hutchinson versus Sexton, Blake Taff versus Stephen Crichton at the back, Bronson Cherry versus Jacob Carraz, who gets first crack this week. So, I mean, depth and competition for positions is a good thing, but this Bulldog side needs to figure out what their first choice 17 looks like, and they need to do it quick so they can get some reps on the board.
Yeah, and their spine too. Like, I feel like, you know, you can buy all these other players, which is great, and have, you know, you can have the flashy Ferrari in the driveway, but if you don't have the right driver for the job, it's not going to go anywhere. And I think that's where they are sitting at the moment. Yep. They need leadership, and obviously they bought in Stephen Crichton in that. But is he really a leader? Was he really a leader at the Penrith Panthers?
Head scratcher, hey.
You know, so he's a great – we all know he can play footy, but – we've watched other people go from that Penrith side and not really succeed as well. So I don't think that's an unpopular opinion for me. I'm with you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm happy to be on them at that price. I think particularly when you look at the other teams around them on the ladder, the Dragons, we're expecting them to improve under Shane Flanagan.
Top eight.
The Tigers with Benji, I think Aiden Caesar's a really underrated acquisition for them. They're another team we've been waiting to improve for a while now, and I think this might be the year we start to see them creep up the ladder. Yep. The Titans we think will improve. Manly, we've already seen, are going to improve. The Dolphins. So, yeah, just looking at the teams around Canterbury on the ladder from last year, I think they probably – well, yeah, I've picked them out as my wooden spoon tip.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I don't hate it. Big test for the Dogs on Saturday against the Eels in a game that holds a lot for both clubs. Foggs, look, we've already bloody talked about the Broncos and we've got to do it again.
Yeah, well,
tell us what you thought about the Broncos post-game.
Well, so we said we weren't going to talk about it, but here we are. it wasn't the result that Broncos fans are expecting on the weekend, but I think the Broncos showed just how strong of a team unit they are by the way they carried themselves off the field post-game in the way that they stood up for Ezra Mam. That showed me just how strong and tightly interconnected that team is. Mm. And I've always been taught you look after your mates, and that's clearly what
you
they
look
did.
You look after me, mate.
Oh, and
that's what they were doing in the Valley the other week as well. Hey, they were looking after.
That's it.
Someone got bit by an ant on the grass,
exactly.
And they're all trying to get the ant. Look after it.
The whole thing out of that is we seen our half resole our lock. That's the only thing I got out of that. So I'm not sure what you guys got out of that, but we know that Paddy need a bit of work.
Yeah. Where was that for the bunnies, Reno? Seriously, come on.
I just think that showed how good their teammate chemistry is, and you know they've got a lot of on-field stuff to iron out. There was a lot of errors in that Chookies game, but I think they'll be very good for it this year.
So yeah. the Broncos are good guys. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, turns out they are.
Very unpopular opinion.
Yeah, very unpopular. All right, listeners, in case you haven't had enough, of Foggs, he's back next with the offload.
All the betting trends from around the comp. This is the offload.
Hindsight and foresight combine each week as our man Foggs runs you through the markets you need to know about in the offload. Look, we brought in Oscar last week and he's back again to get down and nerdy with some numbers talk.
Ooh, down and nerdy.
Ooh.
Boys.
Light and nerdy.
What have you got for us?
We're going to start this year with the hospital passes. So these are the massive bets that didn't get up over in Vegas. The biggest bet of the weekend was $10,000 on the Broncos to cover minus 2.5. I was very much on that as well, not to be. And then two other punters had another $10,000 on the Broncos head-to-head each, and the Chookies got the job done.
Yeah.
Why'd you put that much down, mate?
Well, I mean, you don't know my units, champ.
The first champ of the show. I like it.
Oh, wow.
Rolling that into the incorrect groundings. So these are the multis that fell one leg short. There was a massive one here in the Rabbits Manly game. 7 legs, $13 into what could have been $42,500. He had Manly head-to-head, Ruben Garrick, Jason Saab, Alex Johnson, Latrell Mitchell, and Ben Trbojevic anytime try scorers, but missed out on Kalo Matangi.
He almost went over.
Well, doesn't it just make you sick?
It does. Sickening.
All right. Up next, we've got Don't Tell the Miso. So these are the big wins. I'm going to start with the wins we had in open group or win this week. For those of you that don't know, Open Groups is a little community on the Neds app where we are in there talking rugby league and sharing our bets every weekend. Oscar had a massive win to start the year.
No, he didn't.
3 leg, $14 multi. Do you remember the legs? I've got them here, but do you remember them?
Of course he remembers.
You tell the punters, you let him know.
That's a no.
I'm trying to ask if like his shit don't sing. That's he does know.
Oscar had either team by less than 12.5. Homole, Olakawatu, anytime try scorer, and big Latrell Mitchell, ATS. That is a $14 collect for the first 2 games of the year.
Stop it.
And then the biggest win by a punter I could find was 5 legs, $10 into 3.7K. Ooh. He also had Latrell and Homoli with Ben Trbojevic and Jacob Gagai and Ruben Garrick, anytime try scorers.
Wow. Stop it. Stop it. Outstanding stuff.
Fogs. We're getting into the new segment that we've introduced to the offload, the Crash Play.
The Crash Play, yeah. So this, for those that weren't listening last week, Crash Play, Oscar and I are going to combine to try and find a bit of value for you punters in the upcoming round. So this week, we've had a look for a couple of try scorers that look a bit of value. Oscar, I'll start with you, mate.
Yeah, I'm keeping it humble after hitting that $14 one last week.
So you're allowed to be.
That's not going
to
happen every week. Yeah, this weekend, it's early days. We're still getting an idea of how teams are going to attack and defend. But I've picked out Dallin Watene-Zalesniak on the right wing for the Wars. We know that's their preferred side where Sean Johnson plays his best footy. And he's running up against the Sharks' left edge that is was very leaky at times last season. Teague Wilton is back on that edge. He was the man that gave way for Wade Graham last year to solve some of those defensive issues. And my boy, Braden Trindle, who I'm a big fan of, but still has some question marks over his defense as well. They're both on that left edge. So yeah, I like Dallin to score in the Warriors game this week. $1.95, pretty good value.
Nice. Did you have one more?
And the Brick... Warbrick on the right wing, also for the Storm. Similar idea. I think the Storm's right edge is going to be their best this year through Jerome Hughes and Eli Katoa. And although Penrith are the best defensive team we've ever seen in the NRL, Taylan May at left centre was found out a few times in the World Club Challenge. He's still learning that position. So I'm happy to be on the Brick at $3.05.
Also $3 for Warbrick.
Yeah. Also a bit of value for Melbourne as well. They haven't lost round one game in 20 years.
I was about to ask, is anyone brave enough to take it?
20 plus years. $2.25.
Not bad at all.
Not bad.
I'd take the line. I'd be happy to be on the line there, but I think Penrith are going to want to respond after losing.
It's a 2.5-point line from memory. It's not great. But that's all right. I've had a look at a couple of forwards to score tries on the weekend. I really like Beaufort Moore from the Titans. Yep. He's coming off an ACL tear, but the Dragons allowed a try to opposing second rowers in 40% of their games last year.
I like it.
For Moore's scored a few meaties in his time. He's 275. And then in the Dolphins v. Cowboys, I'm taking Jeremiah Nanai. I think that one speaks for itself just quietly.
Very good, Fogs. Excellent addition of the offload. Oscar, each week you write an article for us on the Neds blog. You touched on Vegas last week.
I did.
Your piece should be live by the time this goes to air.
It'll be out this afternoon, yes.
What have we got this week, mate?
So I've written up a big question for each NRL club for the season. We'll revisit this at the end of the year, but some teams are trying to figure out who's the best fit in what position. Other teams are trying new attacking systems, new coaches, whatever it might be. There's a question for every single fan of every single NRL club. So I've picked out a few. You can jump on the website or the app and find the Neds blog if you want to read the whole thing. But just very quickly, some that stood out to me, the Broncos, obviously how they go about replacing Flegler, Capewell, Farnworth and Palacia. That'll be a narrative that we follow throughout the year. Newcastle's spine, what they do with Jaden Brayley and Jack Cogger, given the Knights played pretty bloody well with Gamble and Crossland in there last year. My Rabbitohs contenders or pretenders? The question needs to be asked.
That would have hurt, right?
Yeah, I know, it sucks. But it's true. I've got Souths anywhere from 2nd to 12th this year. They're my biggest sweet sides.
Do you reckon they've been working on their defence during the offseason?
Yeah, we'll see. Manly, moving away from Turbo Ball, I've coined it. I think obviously they're so reliant on Tom Trbojevic, but I really like the way Anthony Seibold's assembled this roster. They've got Luke Brooks on that left edge, Hamole on the right. They're starting to use Cooler in some different areas. I like that it's not all about Turbo, and I'm interested to see how he fits in there.
How good was Brooksy just quietly?
He was
like,
superb.
I feel like majority of rugby league fans owe him an apology after seeing him on a decent team.
It's round one.
Yeah.
So we'll just...
he still got hammered because of a couple of those little errors, like the line break.
Dropped
one over the line, and then Turbo was held up as well. But he very nearly had two tries.
But he looked comfortable.
He
looked comfortable,
He had a role, didn't he?
Yes,
just running.
Definitely.
How good are the Finns? We talked about that last week. We're going to get an idea of what to expect from them this year. And then, where or what sort of improvements can we expect from the Dragons, the Tigers, the Doggies, the Titans, those lower based clubs? So, big questions on the NRL blog.
Looking forward to it, Oscar. And listeners, if you haven't checked out Rugby League Writers, be sure to head on over. The boys there do some outstanding analysis. I read your piece, some of the film breakdown from the games over the weekend.
Thanks,
so, well worth reading. We're going to head to story time with Jarrell.
Strap yourself in. It's story time with Jarrell.
Yeah, story time last week was heavy. It was big. It's one of my biggest stories that I've probably told here on the podcast. So we're going to bring it back a notch, just a tiny bit, because you can't keep rising every single week, gentlemen. But I know it's round one. We've had round zero. We've got round one this weekend. And if anyone's looking for some local footy to go watch, I've assembled a side at West Arana Panthers. Opened ones. We'll be playing our trial match this weekend, actually, down at Arana. Best field in Brisbane, apart from Suncorp, I would say. I mean that as well.
It's actually
good
leagues club.
It's actually smick. Yeah, if you love a slab, whatever you want to do, come on down. Get in the pig pen. Signed a couple of big boys, actually. In the transfer window. It got us to really slow pickings, and I thought I would have to strap the boots on and captain coach the side. But I've managed to pick up a few stragglers who have sort of just retired from footy. One, I've got a transfer from all the way over in the UK. He's moved back into town now, and that is one Corbin Sims, who will be playing for me.
Pretty handy pick up, just quite early.
He might be actually looking like he'll play front row at the moment, but a couple of weeks he'll be back in good nick. He'll be playing back row for me this weekend down around in a trial, which is really nice. The other one is international Josh Hoffman, who'll be playing fullback for me this week.
What an honour roll this is.
I know, open ones, which is really, really nice to have him amongst a group. He brings some really good value. And if anyone knows the story about the Black Mamba, which we might be able to delve into deeper about during the year and story time with JYY, or if you want to see the Black Mamba in full swing, come on down and come inside the sheds afterwards. He's great value to have around. And then the last one, he's a 300 gamer. He's played international for Australia, and he's played over 25, I believe, origins for Queensland, and that's Big Sammy Thaiday, who will be strapping the boots on for us as well.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Imagine having a 40-hour work week and then having to square up with these. That's not fair to...
Well, like, mate, you said you assembled it. It's like the bloody Avengers.
Yeah. They call me Iron Man.
Imagine being the half lining up against Corbin.
I know.
Suck.
And he's been whacking some people at training, so I'm a bit worried for anyone who's playing opens ones this year. We've also got Jack Walters coming down, which is Billy Walters' little brother, who's played a fair bit of BRL as well, and some other boys who are coming down to play as well. But we've got a great team assembled. So if you want to watch some great rugby league, local rugby league, get on down to the West Arana Panthers this Saturday. We'll be strapping on the boots, and whoever's playing us, I'm not sure, is going to get a toweling.
Would you be favourites if you had to shape a market?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, oh, well, I don't know. Oh, I know we're playing Albany Creek. I know they won the Open Threes last year. So this team has never played footy together. So I would say it'd be very close, but I'd say we'd be close.
You
favorites.
Said they're training the house down there.
That was your quote.
Yeah, and when you train the house down, you know what that means.
Have you got back rower Sam Thaiday or middle forward Sam Thaiday?
Middle forward Sam Thaiday.
Third man in Thaiday.
No. I asked him to fill out a sheet and everyone to fill out a sheet, their positions. Sammy's put second row, front row and half.
So whenever goal kicker as well, surely.
JYY, you touched on your story last week with the AFL boys, Ben Barber in Vegas. As I said at the start of the show, the socials absolutely lapped it up. Unfortunately, though, the boys on the AFL show, Dylan, the host of the AFL, unpopular, who? Never heard of her. He wasn't all about AFL and NRL in Vegas.
Yeah, okay.
So he took to Twitter. He was having a bit of a rough day.
Oh, okay.
And voiced his opinion. Mm. So this is what Dill had to say. Thank goodness the NRL has arrived in Las Vegas. The city and country has been desperate for major events, something to punt on in tourism for as long as I can remember. Fortunately, rugby league has seen a significant gap in the market. He was very salty about this.
Yeah, he was salty because he didn't get sent over.
Yeah,
was the main, get a junket. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
And then he just shat on it the whole time.
I think he's deleted some tweets too. Yeah. So look,
we didn't get all his receipts.
We want to kick the code wars off, and Dill's already fired the first shot.
Yeah, so. Fuck those guys, man. Yeah.
Exactly what we wanted. Foggs, you've got some comments from the punters regarding Gerald's video.
Oh, man. Do I ever. There were some cracking comments on that clip you had last week.
This is what we wanted.
The Dragons. And, they were always going to get some pretty funny ones. But I love how Gerard Yao Yee with the blue tick came in the comments
I've rebuttaled.
And he just clapped.
Well, you know what? I've had enough of everyone's shit. So if you're putting something up, I'm coming back at you.
So I thought I'd read out some of them. So this is on the clip of Gerard saying the Dragons and make the eight. Bloke named Dion Moore just said, get off the pipe. And you jumped straight back in and said, less from you, Moore. That really, really tickled me. And then I think the other one got deleted. But there was a one comment that said, it was like, if I spoke like this at work, I'd get drug tested on site. So I thought that was very
good
as well.
That was funny. Yeah, no, punters, I'm coming for you this year. So bring it.
You come at the king, you best not miss.
No, you set the bar very high. All right, when we come back, he's got another segment. This bloke may as well just take over the show. It's Fogg's Fast Five.
Who decided to give him his own segments? It's time for Fogg's Fast Five.
Three segments for this bloke this week. I don't know what's going on. Fogs gave us some cracking Vegas itinerary last week. Yeah. Hopefully more aquarium chat in this week's edition of Fogs 5-5.
Yeah, so these are the top five aquariums. I'm kidding. Look, last bit of Vegas chat we'll probably have for me this year. Look, given that the NRL was clearly a massive success over in Vegas on the weekend and we have another 300 million listeners this week keen to know what the NRL is about, I thought I would use both my NRL and NFL knowledge to compare some of the teams. And so, you know, if you're a certain NFL fan, you might fall into this team. So we'll start with Penrith Panthers. I think they're like the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
They're the new powerhouse. They seem to win every year. And Nathan Cleary and Mary Fowler are our Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Power couple, beautifully said. On the same level, clearly.
Yeah. The Sydney Roosters are like the New England Patriots. They're a former dynasty clinging on to relevant.
Same colours too.
Mm. Same colours. The pieces that made them great have seemingly moved on. and they clearly have some problems that are pretty similar that I'm not going to mention. I don't know what you're talking about. I think the Parramatta Eels are like the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're consistently mediocre every season, no matter how many shiny pieces they bring in. I think they're tipped to finish 8 or 9th every year, and the Steelers finish 8 and 9 every year.
Yep.
The Broncos are like...
Please don't say it.
Broncos are like the 49ers. They've got weapons all across the park, but struggle to close out games when it matters the most. And the Dragons are like the New York Jets. They're absolutely dismal year in, year out, and they're holding an older star player at ransom.
Tough to argue with.
Yeah. So there you go. So if you're an NFL fan coming into the NRL this year, I think they're your comparisons.
Who's your team in the NFL?
Yeah, moving on.
When we come back, we've got to get into the multi.
Surely they get one up this week. It's the NRL Podcast Multi.
None for one on the multi this year, punters. But look, only two games last week, so I consider that to be a bit of a free hit. And look, we didn't shy away from a 26-1 pop to start the year.
Yeah, it was a bit ridiculous from us.
It was.
It was close, though. It was close.
Was it?
Yeah, it was really close.
I mean, we were 25% of the way there, I guess.
Well, unfortunately, one punter really fancied us, put $500 on last week.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, apologies. We'll talk about that after the show. No, Oscar, you got us off to a pretty good start, backing Latrell Mitchell anytime.
Gee, looks good, doesn't he? Latrell Mitt season, baby. Let's go.
He does.
You're already off and firing with that multi in open groups. I had Jackson Paolo anytime. Gerald, you had Jesse Arthurs and Liam. Liam, you had the Bronx to cover.
Did, and they didn't.
Nah. That's well, all that needs to be said.
Yeah.
Jesse had a lot of meters, 197, yeah, but just couldn't get over the try line. Shorter field, you would think with those numbers, make it over.
Anyone from Manly scored except for Paolo. But anyway, yes.
Dean got one too, didn't he? Marinade looked good.
Mate.
Yep.
You know,
Walshy too.
You said it.
Yeah. Walshy was a decent price just for it.
I'll lead it off this week. I have gone the Warriors to cover against the Sharks at Mount Smart. Wars have won 5 of their last 7 in round 1. I think this is their window this year. This is their year to win. I've got them finishing top 4.
Oh, yeah.
RTS comes back. He's in the centres this week. Sharkies really struggled against top 8 teams last year. Were outscored massively in those games. Warriors minus 4.5. I think that's a nice line.
Yep,
it's great. Quags, what do you got?
I'm taking the last game of the round to kind of hide myself at the back.
The anchor.
To the disgust of our intern, Matt, I've taken the Dolphins to cover plus 6.5.
For a bit of context there, Matt tipped the Finns in open groups to take the spoon this year.
Ooh, yeah, and geez. Was... like had a visceral reaction when I said I think the Dolphins would cover this week.
The intern.
Yeah.
On the multi, mate.
He's had enough airtime. Let's move on. Dolphins, Cows, I think the Dolphins aren't getting enough credit. I think they're pretty good. I think the Cows might slide this year. I'm taking the Dolphins to cover plus 6.5 points.
Gerald, you're up next.
Yeah, I'm... Sorry, I just vomited in my mouth before I say this. Yeah. I'm going to go the Eels head to head.
What's the matter?
Can you say that again? I didn't quite hear
it. It's just not me, but I'm glad I did it before you've come and made your point that the dogs will be...
You did fist pump when he was saying that, so...
I did fist pump. I also did vomit in my throat then before I said that. We've done... but nothing will spray these guys for years here on this on Popular Opinion, me and Jared Timms, and come at the Parramatta fans. So this is one back for you guys. I've gone there.
Do not let us down.
Because I let you know, you got one chance, Parramatta fans. If they do not win this, I'll never come back.
They're on the no bet list.
Yeah, 100%.
For the rest of the year.
100%. I would rather go. I'd rather go 3 try scorers from somewhere else.
Yeah. Oscar, bring us home.
I've taken Newcastle Knights head to head against the Canberra Raiders. Games at McDonald Jones Stadium. I'm a little bit shaky on the Raiders this year. They've got a great forward pack, but there's a lot of inexperience in that back line. Big fan of Ethan Strange at the 6, but yeah, I think the Knights should be too good in round 1.
Pong has been training the house down.
He looks good, doesn't he?
Stop it.
I'm not even lying. I was down there just to see the beaches and I seen him running around.
Over houses.
Yeah. Bounding backwards.
Houses on me, like crumbled on the ground everywhere.
Just to recap, I have gone the Warriors to cover minus 4.5 against the Sharks. Foggs, you've gone the Dolphins plus 6.5 against the Cows. Jarrell, sickeningly, you've gone the Eels head-to-head. And Oscar, you have gone the Knights head-to-head.
It's the Knights.
Much better price this week, $7.07 for this
great
one.
Price.
Oh, great price.
Get on.
Get on
responsibly.
Jarrell, say the line. You're backing it.
Yeah, I'm gonna back this one.
There it is.
Why do you do that to me? I really walked into that.
The line, Gerald.
I'm gonna get on this one, punters, so come with me.
All right, boys, we're about to wrap up here on Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. What are we looking forward to? Side B of round one.
Just some more rugby league. Away from rugby league quickly, though, our great man and our leader for our Olympics team, Paddy Mills.
Friend
of the show as well. He's officially been waived, but he's gone to the Miami Heat for the finals.
Ooh,
which is really cool.
Ring chasing.
I know. Very, very cool. Well, look, he loves the beaches and that's his style.
Love it.
So go, Paddy.
Very good. Oscar.
I'm looking forward to taking 1,000 notes this weekend and getting a better idea of where each team might sit on the ladder this year.
Including the West Carolina Panthers on Saturday.
Correct.
Fogs?
Yeah, it was something I forgot to bring up last week. I wanted to hear your thoughts on your Dally M Smokey for the year.
Oh,
boys.
Gosh.
I know I've just sprung it on you.
Yeah, I went trail last year. I'll do the same again.
Yeah, I'm... I don't know. When was the last time a forward has won it?
Oh, we have to dig up.
Smitty Tamalolo?
Yeah.
Smitty or Tamalolo?
Like, I would probably go Payne Haas. That would
shout.
Be my shout, because I know that he missed out the back end of last year. I'm not sure why, but he started to fall off that edge, but he was not playing bad at all. So I'm just going to stick with Big Payne.
Reece Walsh for me.
I
took a Bronco last year, but I'm worried there's too many boys that might pinch points off each other. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the year that Nathan Cleary does it.
Yeah.
It's probably the only thing missing on the resume at this point, isn't it?
I'll go with Smokey. Yep. Jerome Hughes. Mm.
I like that.
Then he can go and play in the Super League and he can leave
just
us.
Hang out with
yes,
Mary.
That, it's a great idea.
Yeah, please see don't you, play Nathan. In this comp anymore. Yeah. You're too good. Just go.
All right, lads, we've got to name the show. I have no idea what we're going to name it this week. Oh. What are we thinking?
Oh, shiver me timbers. Oh,
should we give the West Carolina Panthers a shout?
Let's do it.
Stop it. The boys are going to froth that.
Yeah, let's do it.
The boys will froth. I'll bring that up Thursday, training.
Very good. Thank you, Oscar, for joining us. Thank you, JYY. Thank you, Fogs. We will be back next week to recap round one in its entirety. Thank you for listening, listeners. See you then.
Thanks for listening to Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. Enjoyed the podcast? Remember to like, subscribe, and rate the show wherever you get your podcasts.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.